Authorities identify the names of six people killed in an accident outside Helena last week. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid, and that's tonight's top story on Montana Evening Edition. A judge strikes most of an immigrant-related state services law.
And we'll have more on the harassment case unfolding at MSU Northern. Jefferson County authorities say five people killed in a collision outside of Helena last week were a family from Townsend. Undersheriff Mike Johnson on Monday identified the adults as 29-year-old Matthew Carl Bogle and 30-year-old Crystal Marie Ross. Johnson says the children were 4-year-old Brighton Bogle and 3-year-old twins Peyton and Madison Bogle. Johnson says it could take weeks to receive the results from the autopsies and determine the cause of death. The family was driving a pickup truck west on U.S. Highway 12 on Thursday when the truck collided with a fire engine driven by Three Forks Fire Chief Todd Rummel. Rummel also died in the crash. A memorial service for Rummel is set for tomorrow.
A 10-year-old Stevensville boy has died in a weekend-all-terrain vehicle crash. Ravalli County Sheriff Chris Hoffman says the accident was reported shortly after 4 p.m. Saturday on private property east of Corvallis. Hoffman declined to release the boy's name until he read the coroner's report and spoke with the family. The Missoulian reports that the Daily Leech Chapel in Hamilton released a death notice on Sunday for 10-year-old Bridger Lee Reeves of Stevensville, who died of injuries sustained in an ATV accident on Saturday.
And another news from around the state. A Montana judge has struck down most of a voter-approved law requiring government officials to conduct immigration checks on anyone seeking services from unemployment benefits to crime victims. The law, named LR 121, aims to deny certain services to people who are in the U.S. illegally. District Judge Jeffrey Sherlock says in his Friday order that the law makes up its own definition of illegal alien and conflicts with federal immigration laws. Shahid Hawkhouse-Rath is the president of the Montana Immigrant Justice Alliance and an immigration lawyer for the Border Crossing Law Firm. He was the lead attorney in a lawsuit against Montana State and the Montana University System, which were the defendants in the case. He argues the law was unconstitutional, and the Montana legislator wanted states to use databases that weren't appropriate to make decisions about whether someone was filing for services in the U.S. legally.
For instance, LR 121 would have denied access to crime victim services, infant hearing screenings, access to public universities. Things like that are not regulated by federal law. And so for the state of Montana to suddenly create its own rule of law as far as what immigrants are entitled to, that creates a lot of federal preemption issues, because we want immigration to be regulated on a national scale. We don't want a visitor to the United States to have to delve through 50 different immigration laws in all the different states.
Judge Sherlock did allow one provision in law to remain. It requires state officials to report immigration officials the name of a person who is not in the U.S. legally and doesn't conflict with the federal law. But Hawkhouse-Rath says without the requirement for the state agency to check in a person's immigration status, the provision won't have any effect.
That provision really shouldn't have much effect. State agencies shouldn't be in a position to know whether somebody's here illegally or not and shouldn't have any information to report to the federal government.
Hawkhouse-Rath says he doesn't expect an appeal in the decision, but the defendants have 60 days in which to file an appeal.
The Supreme Court today placed limits on the sole Obama administration program already in place to deal with power plant and factory emissions of gases blamed for global warming. The justices said that the Environmental Protection Agency lacks authority in some cases to force companies to evaluate ways to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. This rule applies when a company needs a permit to expand facilities or build new ones that would increase overall pollution. Carbon dioxide is the chief gas linked to global warming. The decision does not affect EPA proposals for first-time national standards for new and existing power plants. The Montana Environmental Information Center Deputy Director Ann Hedges says the ruling preserves the EPA's authority over facilities that already emit pollutants that the agency regulates other than greenhouse gases.
It's quite clear that if a plant is a large source and it puts out large quantities of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides, and it needs a permit for those, then EPA can also require them to prove that they have the best available technology to control carbon pollution as well. EPA had said it could require these companies to get a permit if only carbon was a high-volume pollutant. But the court said, no, you have to have other high-volume pollutants as well in order to limit pollution of carbon.
Hedges describes today's ruling as a very narrow decision.
This decision will affect very few sources and does absolutely nothing to undermine EPA's most recent proposal to limit carbon pollution from power plants, because that proposal that was announced earlier this month is done under a completely different section of the Clean Air Act.
She says the ruling will have little to no impact here in Montana. Chuck Deneau of the coal advocacy organization Count on Coal Montana says he had not had an opportunity to review today's ruling and declined comment. The utility industry, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and 13 states, including Montana, led by Texas, asked the court to rule that the EPA overstepped its authority by trying to regulate greenhouse gas and gas emissions through the permitting program. The administration failed to get climate change legislation through Congress. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox called today's ruling a victory. In a statement released by his office, he said, quote, "It affirms what Montana and other states have said in this case and elsewhere. We are a nation of laws, and neither the president nor his agencies are above those laws. The states are currently facing an onslaught of new regulations from the EPA and other agencies that purport to expand federal authority over waters owned by the states and imposing new regulations on existing power plants. The court's language should give every federal agency, especially the EPA, clear guidance that their new draft regulations are beyond their authority under current law," end quote.
An administrator at the Montana State University Northern testified that the school's former provost touched him inappropriately over a three-year period and that the university retaliated against him after he filed a discrimination complaint. A hearing officer with the Montana Human Rights Bureau heard testimony last week in Haver from MSU Northern Dean Bachmeyer. In his complaint against the provost, the current provost, Rosalind Templeton, some school administrators backed Bachmeyer's claims, while others said Templeton's behavior was not sexual in nature. Chancellor James LeBras said he received numerous complaints about Templeton's management, but was unaware of Bachmeyer's issues with Templeton until he filed a sexual harassment complaint. Templeton is scheduled to testify next month in Helena. Bachmeyer says after he filed his complaint, a change was made in the provost's job description, so he couldn't apply.
A whitefish man has drowned while fishing along the Missouri River. The Cascade County Sheriff's Office says two fishermen discovered the body of 41-year-old Cleve Malmstrom south of Cascade on Friday. Authorities believe he slipped and fell into the river. He was wearing waders, but not a life jacket. Malmstrom's raft was found tied up along the shore. One of Malmstrom's dogs was recovered, but a chocolate Labrador named Deuce ran off when approached by emergency personnel. Anyone who locates the dog is asked to contact the Cascade County Sheriff's Office.
A 32-year-old Libby man has been missing since stepping outside of a bar to smoke on May 30th. The family of William Tebby says he was last seen outside the Libby VFW between 11:30 p.m. and midnight. Lincoln County Sheriff Robus Bow tells the Western News the search and rescue teams have been checking the Kootenai River, and his office called the BNSF Railway to see if Tebby may have hopped a train. Bow says there have been no action on Tebby's credit cards or bank accounts, and there is no evidence to suggest foul play. Tebby is 5 feet 10 inches tall and 140 pounds with blonde hair and glasses. He was last seen wearing faded blue jeans and a black t-shirt.
A Billings garage fire that caused $25,000 in damage was intentionally set. Assistant Billings Fire Marshal Bill Tatum says firefighters responded at 3:36 a.m. this morning. The owner of the garage's contents was one of the first people who called 911. Tatum says the man was able to get his car out of the garage, but none of his other property, including two personal watercraft. The property was insured. The Billings Gazette reports Billings police are investigating the fire, which also caused minor damage to two vehicles in a parking lot near the garage.
Community dances driving his grandfather's pickup truck when he couldn't see over the steering wheel, horses, and alcoholic ranch hands were just a few subjects of Helmville rancher Richard Gary writes about in his newspaper columns. Gary is 67 years old and didn't start riding until about a year ago. As the Right Question producer Sheree Newman found out, it took all those decades for him to find the courage to write.
I know from talking with you before that you don't have formal education in writing, but you must be a big reader because you're a very good writer.
Well, thank you on the compliment. That's a little hard to accept. I've read the best. The Russians and the French and Faulkner and Joyce. And I think having read the best as a youth and in through the years, that kept me from writing up until this point, because I thought maybe a writer, you had to produce this magnificent opus that would, as Gabriel Garcia Marquez in 100 Years of Solitude or something like that, and I didn't feel up to the task, and I'm not. But evidently this type of stuff seems to, you know, appeal to people. You know, another 100,000 words, I might have learned something. But right now it's still a tentative operation with me.
Sometimes we defeat ourselves before we get started because we think we have to do something huge and magnificent, and we forget that the huge and magnificent thing happens one page at a time.
It does, and one word or one sentence at a time.
Right.
But I think there are two types of writers. Like Twain was a magnificent writer, and he told a good story, and he entertained, one of the best. But then there are the geniuses involved, the Faulkners and the Joyces, who can also use language. Twain told stories and did it very well. But Faulkner, Joyce, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and Voltaire, and some of them, they could use the language to embellish the whole thing. The whole book was a phenomenon, an intellectual phenomenon in itself. And I thought that's what it took to be a writer.
Richard Gary is the eldest of fourth generation to operate the family ranch in Hemville, property of the homesteaded by his great-grandfather in 1867. Gary began to write weekly columns for the Deer Lodge Silver State Post in 2013. He is now also published by Phillipsburg Mail and the Missoulian. Gary's biweekly columns are available online at Missoulian.com. Search Richard, G-E-A-R-Y.
And now for the evening's forecast. Across the listening area tonight, some clouds are expected, along with a chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the 40s. West of the Divide on Tuesday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Small hail and heavy rainfall is expected with highs in the mid-70s to lower 80s. In central Montana tomorrow, it should be partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs 70 to 80. In southwest Montana, Tuesday will be partly cloudy with more expected by evening, along with a chance of rain showers and thunderstorms and highs 70 to 80. And now for the editorial comments of Gordy Sanders.
Last winter, Art Ortberg passed away at the age of 87, some 7 years after his longtime partner, wife, and friend, Liz Claiborne, passed. Although they were very wealthy New Yorkers and could live anywhere in total seclusion, they chose a more visible path, engaged and active in their communities. They loved Montana and the folks that live, work, and play here. Art and Liz were longtime philanthropists and supporters of wildlife conservation and efforts that paralleled their values and vision. They came to Montana in the early 90s to become a part of the communities of the Sealy Swan Valley and Canyon Creek, not apart from these communities. Art and Liz locally supported the Sealy Lake Elementary School's pioneering school lunch program, and the award-winning preschool program, Montana Public Radio, the Canyon Creek Fire Department, the Helena Public Library, and many, many more. With their strong interest in getting kids outdoors and connected to the environment, they work with the Montana Wildlife Federation to establish a youth elk hunting program on their 888 ranch near Canyon Creek. They also sponsored the Montana Natural Heritage Project at Sealy Swan High School, allowing students to observe their natural environment and host a community gathering to share their findings. In addition to being generous and a Montanan at heart, Art was a visionary and understood accomplishing conservation and habitat objectives required the involvement and support of rural community members. He was a proponent of community-based conservation and embraced the benefits of a wide variety of interests working together to help each other see more of their values on the ground. Beginning in 2001 in Red Lodge, Montana, Art brought together a group of conservationists, county commissioners, congressional folks, loggers, ranchers, and agency leaders which served as an incubator for today's collaboration. Not only did Art envision the benefits from bringing folks together, but also showing them on-the-ground results that advanced stewardship and restoration. Pyramid Mountain Lumber had completed several such projects by 2003 on Art and Liz's Tranquility ownership in the Swan Valley, as well as the Clearwater Stewardship Pilot Project in Sealy Lake. Pyramid Mountain Lumber is a small, family-owned mill in Sealy Lake with a long history and reputation for working with diverse interests to accomplish mutual objectives. That summer, Art invited national leadership from the Sierra Club, Defenders of Wildlife, and the Wilderness Society to visit with various agency, industry, and community members and to visually view on-the-ground treatments on Tranquility and Clearwater Stewardship. They viewed protection of old-growth veteran trees, habitat restoration for fisheries and wildlife, fuel reduction in the wildland-urban interface, recreational improvements, and came to realize the benefit to rural communities in providing raw materials for processing, which offset the cost of the restoration treatments while providing high-paying jobs for local workers and contractors. Convening this group was a landmark event in moving the dialogue between conservation community interests, timber industry folks, and other community members supporting active forest management in rural communities. Many current efforts in advancing collaboration to get the right thing done on the ground for the right reason started as a direct result of Art's invitation. In our many discussions over treatments on the 888 Ranch to restore the ponderosa pine savanna landscape that Lewis and Clark would have observed, it was clear that Art Ortenberg and Liz Claiborne had a deep appreciation and respect for Montanans and their diverse perspectives. Also, they were deeply attached to Montana's incredible landscapes and its distinctive wildlife. So as they worked worldwide to support the conservation and recovery of tigers, elephants, and a variety of other endangered species in their habitats, rest assured they were grounded in Montana, and their legacy is living their lives dedicated to making a difference. On behalf of the Montana Wood Products Association, I am Gordy Sanders. Thanks for listening.
Gordy Sanders is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.